Now, text 10, which is quite long, describes a progression of advancement of devotion to Krishna. The progression begins by Vikami, as a Vikami. This is the lowest. We'll describe these in more detail a little later. Then after, above a Vikami is a Kami. Above a Kami is a Jnani. Above a Jnani is a devotee. Above the ordinary devotees are the gopis. And of all the gopis, the best is Srimati Radharani. When we talk about progression, we talk about most expert at pleasing Krishna. Because ultimately, every individual is meant simply for this purpose, to please Krishna. And when we understand this and give up our independent desires to please either ourselves or anyone else, then we can become happy and not before. Now, everyone is attempting to become happy. The Vikami, the Kami, the Jnani, everyone is attempting to become happy. But they have different concepts of how they're going to become happy. In section A, the Kami is described. Now, a Kami is a follower of the Vedic system. In section B, the Vikami is going to be described. So we'll first talk about Kami and then Vikami. Although the Vikami is actually in a much, much lower position than the Kami. Prabhupada in the purport begins speaking about Kami. We will begin. A Kami, another word for this Kami is Kamakanda, one who is Kamakandi. One who is following the Kama section of the Vedas, the work or fruit of work section of the Vedas to fulfill his material desires. He's performing sacrifices, he's doing his prescribed duties, and his purpose is to gain matter, enjoyment, facility for enjoyment, either in this world or in the next. Now, the Vikami is also interested in enjoyment, but he is not surrendered to the Vedic system of enjoyment, and therefore he must go down in his future lives. He must go down. He's fraught with anxieties in this life because he has no faith in the Shastra, or in his faith is only in himself. So he must become degraded, increasingly conquered by the modes of passion and ignorance. The Kami, on the other hand, he is a human, because his sense gratification is governed by the authority of the Vedas. And therefore, although he's a materialist, there is hope for him. And the Vedic system makes provision for the elevation of materialists through the three modes of material nature. Now, there are two levels of Kamis. One level is someone who is performing sacrifices to gain something in this life. Something so tangible here and now. A son, a wife, money, some nice facility in this life. His faith and his passion do not allow him to care even for the next life. But by following the Vedic formulas, he understands that gradually that whatever he performs in this life cannot compare with the enjoyment that can be offered to him in his next life if he attains swarga, heaven. So therefore, the next step after, if he follows the Vedic system, after attempting to become happy in this life through gross material achievements or subtle material achievements, is that he accepts the validity of his next life and the importance of that. So gradually he is getting more far-seeing. After accepting that he's going to transmigrate and performing religious duties, performing sacrifices, associating with priests, hearing their talks, these Brahmins' talks, he gradually gets a taste for performing these rituals, the religious rituals, and there's a sweetness in it, there's an auspiciousness in it. Offering ghee to the fire, satisfying the demigods. It's auspicious, it's purifying, it's religious. So this third step is that he gets a taste for religious practices, and he can be requested, and he will desire to perform nishkam karma. Because the taste of the religious act is so pleasing that it is more pleasing even than the fruit. So the third step in the Vedic system is that he performs nishkam karma. So he's on the platform of duty. And the result of perform, that means he's detached. His mode of passion is dissipating. The vikami is acting in the mode of ignorance, because he's just doing whatever he thinks is needed to bring him sense gratification. Arjuna, why don't you sit on the mat and I don't know, call for and then in the mode of passion, the kami is attempting to gain his desires through the use of the Vedic formulas. And then gradually he becomes purified and he attains nishkam karma, which is more in the mode of goodness, where he's detached from the fruits and he's acting dutifully, not caring for the results, but just doing his duty because it is meant to be done. That is the definition of work in the mode of goodness. Then, out of working in the mode of goodness or acting in the mode of goodness, what is the result? Sattvam sanjayate jnana. So then knowledge comes. And he realizes that he is not his body, and that not only should he work in the mode of goodness, but he should get out of the material world completely. And he becomes detached, and then he can become a jnani. Then, the perfection of jnana, one who is desiring liberation, is explained by the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada explains in on page 86 at the bottom. Bahunam jnanamam mante jnanamam prapadyate vasudeva savamiti samaha vasudolava. Through jnana, through knowledge, one realizes that he is spirit. And of course he understands. How could spirit enjoy matter? He has nothing to do with matter. And he understands that the result of his attempt to enjoy matter is simply suffering. He is spiritual. He belongs in the spiritual atmosphere. Therefore he goes for liberation. And he understands that everything is spiritual. Aham brahmasmi. He understands this and he tries for liberation. But then, by the great fortune of association with devotees, he becomes that rarest of jnanis, that one who surrenders to Krishna, knowing Vasudeva Savamiti, that yes, that everything is spirit, but how everything is spirit? It is pervaded by Paramatma, Lord Paramatma. And then he can go through, that's the yoga platform, but then when he realizes also that Krishna is the source of Paramatma, that Krishna is the origin of Paramatma, Krishna Narayan. But you can't really speak in terms of origin because Paramatma, Lord Paramatma, is certainly eternal. But he possesses even more qualities than Paramatma. Then he becomes a devotee, Samahatma Sudolabha, someone who will give up, by the mercy of good association, the bliss of impersonal or yogic powers, siddhis, and become a devotee. Sa Mahatma is Sudolabha. He is great, very rare. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, prior to this verse, that such a jnani, who is situated in knowledge of me, is as dear to me as my own self. He is so dear because he doesn't want, he is not worshipping Krishna to gain anything, like those Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritino Ajana Artha Gigyasa Artati Yani Chambaratasava. Not like the first three, Artha Gigyasa Artati, who one is in distress, Artha Gigyasa curious, wants to satisfy his curiosity, and the Artati, one who is desiring material wealth. The jnani is not like that, because he has no material desires. He is liberated from that. he is giving everything from the spiritual platform. So he is as dear to Krishna as his self. But Krishna explains in, I think it's in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points it out in the purport to that verse, that the pure devotee and the gopis, they are even dearer to Krishna than himself. So that is the progression. So the devotees above the jnanis are the devotees, and it is explained very clearly as like Sanaka Sanatana. They have given up, and Sukadev Goswami, they have given up the impersonal Brahman, the bliss of being merged in impersonal Brahman. Their minds become agitated by the sweetness of the verses describing Krishna, or the fragrance of the tulsi leaves blown from the garland which is surrounding Krishna's neck. And the Kumara's minds, they give up their impersonal realization based on this. So they become devotees. And of all the devotees, the gopis are the highest. Because, Prabhupada explains on page 87, of all these devotees, the gopis are recognized as superior. Why? Because they do not know anything other than satisfying Krishna. Even the Mahishis, Mahishi means the queens of Krishna, they want a relationship with Krishna, some security in the relationship with Krishna. They want a house, they want a palace, they want something from Krishna in that way, even though it's a little bit. So if someone wants that type of relationship with Krishna, that's called sambandhanuga. If one wants that sambandha rupa, then, and becomes sambandhanuga, one cannot go to Braja and attain the gopis' love for Krishna. There is a stage called kamanuga, and the gopis are kama rupa, which means their relationship with Krishna is like as if lust, but not lust, of course. It is free from any passion or ignorance. It is completely transcendental. But they don't want anything from Krishna, and they get nothing from Krishna. They don't even have any relationship with Krishna as a wife, or they don't want anything. They're just giving everything to Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, and therefore they only, in one sense, can be considered completely desireless. And therefore the gopis don't expect anything returned from Krishna. Indeed, sometimes Krishna puts them in extreme suffering by separating himself from them. Nevertheless, they cannot forget Krishna. So, of all the gopis, the most dear is Srimati Radharani, the topmost gopi. And Prabhupada explains in 88, Srimati Radharani is the highest. No one can excel the devotional service of Srimati Radharani. Indeed, even Krishna cannot understand the attitude of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he took her position and appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just to understand her transcendental feelings. How is it? What is it in me, Mahaprabhu, or Krishna was thinking, that gives Srimati Radharani so much pleasure? What is it in me that she values so much? And how is it that she is capable of giving me so much pleasure? I am completely self-satisfied, I am the Lord, but yet she gives me so much pleasure. How is this possible? So therefore, not being able to understand the mood or qualities of Srimati Radharani, what does she have that gives Krishna so much pleasure? And what does she see in Krishna that brings so much transcendental love? Lord Krishna advented himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these are the internal reasons, some of the internal reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent. So, Prabhupada then explains, in this way, Srila Rupa Goswami gradually concludes that Srimati Radharani is the most exalted devotee of Krishna, and that her kunda, lake, Sri Radhakund, is the most exalted place. Therefore, Anyone interested in Krishna consciousness should ultimately take shelter of Radhakund and execute devotional service there throughout his life. That is the conclusion. This is the conclusion of Rupa Goswami in the 10th verse of Upadeshamrita. So how should one take shelter of Radhakund? That has been explained. When one is able to meditate in his spiritual body, when one has that capacity, and what is the relationship of this to preaching? Prabhupada explained how, we spoke about this yesterday, but in any case, this is the most exalted position for a prema bhakti, for an uttama bhakta. Now, I'd like to go on to the 11th verse, and then, unless, are there any questions or comments about the 10th verse?
Yeah. What happens to Lord Paramatma when everything is in the body of a Mahavishnu?
What happens to him? He goes into Mahavishnu. Okay. As far as I know. I mean, he and Gaudadaksha Vishnu too.
Mm. But there's no Lord Paramatma in the spiritual world.
No. As far as my understanding. Because that's Kiradaksha Vishnu, is an expansion of Gaudadaksha Vishnu, is an expansion of Karanadaksha Vishnu, is an expansion of Shankarshan, for the purpose of eternally maintaining the eternal material world, which is either Vyakta or Avyakta.
It's not eternal, Paramatma.
Of course he's eternal.
Prabhupada says not eternal.
Huh? But he's
temporary manifestation of Krishna.
But he's not eternally manifest, but one can't say that he's temporary. Because
like material energy is eternal.
Yeah, even the material energy is eternal. But he's manifest temporarily, as he's manifest or unmanifest, but we can't say he's not eternal. Just like the sun is manifest or unmanifest, but the sun is always existing. But it's manifest to our vision. He just goes back into...
Prabhupada said it was Krishna in the office or something?
Yeah. In the material office.
I've got another question.
Yeah.
If someone were to give the argument, well, Lord Chaitanya's Krishna is God. He's omniscient. He knows everything past, present, and future. So how is it that he does not know Radharani's feelings for him?
He's a tinti beta beta. Huh? He does know as Lord Chaitanya.
But not as Lord Krishna, he doesn't know.
Well, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahyanya. They are one, but they have become two. Why? So that they can enjoy great pleasure. Because Srimati Radharani is Krishna's Ladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. So does Krishna know his potency? Undoubtedly, Krishna is the source of the potency. Even though one can't say it's the source because both are eternal. This is, we're dealing with absolute subjects that are not exactly possible for us to understand with our teeny minds. But it's a chintya. But Krishna doesn't know his shakti completely. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any pleasure. So this... by his arrangement. But he does know because it's no different from him. It's Lavini, Shakti. Even Krishna went to speak of non-understanding Srimati Radharani. He was standing and looking at Agasura and saying how amazing the material energy works. Right? And when his illusory Vasudeva was killed by Sava, right? He was amazed that he started crying like an ordinary man, lamenting. This is a chintya. Krishna is a chintya. And without accepting that Krishna has inconceivable powers and that he reconciles the inconceivable and the contradictory, there is no meaning to being God. If he was conceivable, fully conceivable, that would mean he was finite. If we would be able to contain him in our brains, that means our brains would be bigger than Krishna. But we cannot, because Krishna is much bigger than our ways. Much, much. Minimum 2 times bigger. Or 3 times. 800 bhuti times. It was once that one man asked the question to Prabhupada. I think it was again that Catholic priest O'Grady in Rome, not the Irish poet who was in Rome, O'Grady, asked Prabhupada on behalf of his father, that my father said, who is God's father? Where did he come from? If God is there, he must have come from somewhere. Who is his father? So Prabhupada said, first you have to understand what God is, and then we can talk about who his father is. So once one understands what or who God is, then there's no question. One has to get that concept somewhat understood, and then there's no question about understanding or asking even who his father is. And when you realize that God doesn't have a father, then we tell you his father is Devaki. Whoops! Then we tell you his father is Devaki. Wait a second. Vasudev. And Nanda Maharaj. Not only does he have a father, he has a foster father.
Sounds pretty
conceivable. Sounds pretty conceivable. Ah, yes. Now you understand. Any other questions or comments? Now in text 11, more directed and only directed towards the object of the two most dear objects of, well, it's actually one object of Rupa Goswami's worship, and that is directed towards Srimati Radharani and Radhakund, which is no different. Of the many objects of favorite delight and of all the lovable damsels of Vrajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radhakund is very rarely attained, even by great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. So I'd like to read this entire purport. And then we can, if there's any questions, we can ask them. And then I have something else to read about the glories of Srimati Radharani. We've heard Rupa Goswami build up after describing what one shouldn't do if one wants to be a devotee and practice his devotional service, and then what one should do, and then that goes to the essence of devotional service. As one begins to make advancement, to always think about Krishna and practice loving devotional service with great affection and rag and attachment in the mood of a resident of Vrindavan, and that one, and then Rupa Goswami describes as Raganuga Bhakti in that way, and then he starts on these final progressions about the highest place being Radhakund. And then that was three verses ago, number 9. And this verse, the highest devotee, being Srimati Radharani. And now, Radharani, Srimati Radharani and Radhakund together in this verse. So these are actually the dearest objects of Rupa Goswami and Rupa Mandari. Why is Radhakund so exalted? The lake is so exalted because it belongs to Srimati Radharani, who is the most beloved object of Sri Krishna. Among all the gopis, she is the most beloved. Similarly, her lake, Sri Radhakund, is also described by great sages as the lake that is as dear to Krishna as Radha herself. Indeed, Krishna's love for Radhakund and Srimati Radharani is the same in all respects. Radhakund is very rarely attained, even by great personalities fully engaged in devotional service, not to speak of ordinary devotees who are only engaged in the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti. It is stated that a devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis if he once takes a bath in Radhakund. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends that even if one cannot live permanently on the banks of Radhakund, He should at least take a bath in the lake as many times as possible. This is a most important item in the execution of devotional service. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in this connection that Sri Radhakund is the most select place for those interested in advancing their devotional service in the wake of the lady friends, sakis, and confidential serving maids, manjaris, of Srimati Radharani. This is called Gopi Bhav. Living entities who are eager to return home to the transcendental kingdom of God, Goloka Vrindavan, by means of attaining their spiritual bodies, Siddhadeya, should live at Radhakund. Take shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha, and under their direction engage constantly in her service. So that's what it means, is to live at Radhakund. To take shelter of the confidential maids of Srimati Radharani, and under their direction engage constantly in her service. This is the most exalted method for those engaged in devotional service under the protection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that even great sages and great devotees like Narada and Sanaka do not get an opportunity to come to Radhakund to take their baths. What then to speak of ordinary devotees? If by great fortune one gets an opportunity to come to Radhakund and bathe even once, he can develop his transcendental love for Krishna exactly as the gopis did. It is also recommended that one should live on the banks of Radhakund, and one should be absorbed in the loving service of the Lord. One should bathe there regularly and give up all material conceptions, taking shelter of Sri Radha and her assistant gopis. If one is thus constantly engaged during his lifetime, after giving up the body, he will return back to Godhead to serve Sri Radha in the same way as he contemplated during his life on the banks of Radhakund. The conclusion is that to live on the banks of Radhakund and to bathe there daily constitutes the highest perfection of devotional service. It is a difficult position to attain even for great sages and devotees like Narada. Thus there is no limit to the glory of Sri Radhakund. By serving Radhakund, one can get an opportunity to become an assistant of Srimati Radharani under the eternal guidance of the gopis. So ends Upadesh Amrita. So I'd like to just make one comment about bathing in Radhakund. Now Prabhupada here says very clearly that one should bathe in Radhakund. Practically one must bathe in Radhakund. There was a conversation with Prabhupada that was put on the bulletin board for a few months, explaining that Prabhupada saying that one should not bathe in Radhakund because it is no different from Srimati Radharani. There was some history around that time when Prabhupada originally gave the devotees permission to bathe in Radhakund, and then they went and they bathed and they sported and they played as if they were in some swimming pool in Kalamazoo, Michigan or something, and just bouncing around. But these waters are not meant for playing. They are the most sacred, the most holy, the most grave waters. So Prabhupada revoked the devotees' permission at that time because of that they didn't have the proper gravity. But the point seemed to be, at least it seemed to me, to be that that if one does bathe there, one has to do it in the proper mood, understanding that it is the most fortunate, holy event of his life, practically, or one of the most in that perspective. Now there are different devotees, older advanced devotees, who feel differently about this. There are some of those devotees, disciples of Prabhupada, they don't bathe. And they instruct their disciples not to bathe. So that ultimately has to be the criterion, whether one bathes or not, whether his spiritual master permits it or not. But even those who don't allow their disciples to bathe in themselves, generally they'll take a load of water at least and pour it on themselves, being careful that their feet don't touch on the holy waters of Radhakund. Other older devotees take it in a different way. and they bathe with great awe and reverence and respect and affection for Radha Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Questions or comments about the purport, that particular purport, or the Upadeshamrita in general? Yeah.
Well, I guess the natural question that arises in that is the statement that if he once takes a bath in Radha Krishna, he will have once developed pure love for Krishna in the wake of the gopis. So, I mean, I know I don't have a bath in Radha Krishna a few times, and I know somehow I haven't woken up.
Most unfortunate. What can be said? Any other questions?
Nidhi.
I have the same question.
Most unfortunate.
Yeah, the same question.
How is book distribution service around the country?
Huh?
How is book distribution?
Well, it's, if you want to look at it, I mean, there's no Prabhupada didn't really mention it on that level. That I've heard some devotees preaching that the purpose of everything is just book distribution. You know, all the activities lead to book distribution. I don't really agree with that point of view. That book distribution leads to something, and that is love of prema bhakti, and that's the purpose of book. The purpose of book distribution is distribution of knowledge, and when one gets the book, it's fulfilled when one reads the book and studies the book, and the purpose of studying the book is to gain the knowledge that will lead us to the lotus feet of Krishna. So it's not that everything, my opinion, leads to book distribution, but book distribution is glorious, not to belittle book distribution, but book distribution is glorious because it's distribution of knowledge. For instance, how would we know that we paid in Radha Krishna unless we had someone distributed this book to us? How would we know the process of devotional service? How would we associate with Rupa Goswami, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or in Srila Prabhupada unless we read the book? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva, all these acharyas, their association is available by the mercy of Prabhupada and his book distribution. So, how does book distribution lead to Radha Krishna? That's one way, by following the instructions of the great acharyas and Krishna, then hopefully we will attain Radha Krishna one day, even though it's so difficult to obtain. And also, that by doing book distribution, Krishna is so pleased that he will benedict us with advancement in Krishna consciousness. And advancement in Krishna consciousness ultimately means the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, or Krishna and some other rasa. You want to add anything?
Okay, understanding that our relationship with Krishna is eternal, just now we are in trouble. If we're allowed to bathe in the Radha Krishna, and stated there that we want to do bathe in Radha Krishna, that pure love of Krishna is fully awakened in the wake of in the womb of the gopis or manjaris or something like that, just to be understood that all those living entities are allowed to take bath in Radha Krishna are to be manjaris or sakis or
no
gopis.
It seems that I'm not exactly sure, quite frankly, but it seems that the ultimate point is that no one's going to force you to be a gopi if you want to be a coward boy. You know, it depends on your desire. What you want, Krishna will reciprocate with your desire.
Are you going farther than that? Okay, well, can it be like a coward boy or like a friend or a gopi or a mother? All these people I have some direct relationship with. With Radhakun somehow or another, but by what the spirit of people are, they have their relationship on vacant planets. All these living entities,
of Vaikuntha living entity, the who want to go to Narayan.
Yes.
They don't have attraction for places like this. And also, we know that has already been explained in the previous verse that more or less only those who have a relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, appreciate Radhakund. So no one, and because that's Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Pariyate. Mahaprabhu is giving Krishna Prema, Golok Vajaras, or the resonance of Vaikuntha. They don't want to go Vraja.
So we are indeed rare souls.
We are indeed fortunate souls. We are not rare souls. We are. I think we're more fried than rare. No, we can't say, oh, how fortunate, how rare I am. No, just somehow or another, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the disciplic succession and Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami, that somehow or another, and the Vaishnava, somehow or another, we've gotten these incredibly great opportunities which we don't at all deserve. He who chants the holy names of the Maha Mantra or the Panchatattva Mantra and does not cry, that means that his heart is still framed due to so many impious activities in this life and in previous lives. So what to speak of someone who doesn't... was in our position that lives in Vrindavan but does not see Vrindavan, goes to Radhakund but does not see the splendor of Radhakund. We are very unfortunate, but yet somehow or another we are trying to become fortunate by taking advantage of what Krishna has given us by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Prabhu, can we expect in the future then to find Iskandar Puri's staying in Radhakund as a kind of bona fide thing? Because it seems like if anybody wanted to put these instructions into practice, that would be considered to be not in the mood of this call, and it would be looked upon as being a deviation.
Well, one time Prabhupada gave someone permission at least to open up a temple there. There's Gaudiyamat temple there. Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur lived there for certain times. But it would have to be done with very strict permission from one spiritual master. And to prematurely try to attempt something like that would be a grave danger to one's spiritual life. So not being able to read, have a hard enough time reading the present, what to speak of the future. I don't know. I hope so. If it's Krishna's, if it's Srimati Radharani's desire, it will happen. But the preaching movement, ISKCON's business is preaching. So the preaching movement cannot and should not and will not stop. It must not stop. This is by the mercy of Prabhupada and his and Srila Bhakti Sananta and Bhakti Vinod Thakur carrying out the desires of Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this institution has been established to fulfill the desires of making the whole world Krishna conscious. Prabhupada once told me that in the Philippines, it is my desire that the whole world becomes Krishna conscious, every living entity. So how could we, but that also has to be taken into strong consideration. But when we become so advanced that we're able to meditate on Krishna in our spiritual bodies, free from the three modes of material nature, fully in contact with the spiritual energy, making these discriminations will be a lot easier. It's only when we're prematurely thinking about it that we can't figure out things. But at that time, there won't be any problem knowing when it's time. Any other comments or questions?
I would just like to read from, this is the, from Manasiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami, who was one of the great jewels of Radhakund. He bequeathed Radhakund more or less to Jiva Goswami after and to the following like that. But here's a prayer by Rupa Goswami to Srimati Radharani in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajana Dharpana commentary of Raghunath Das Goswami's Manasiksha. Because I just thought we'd read this because direct service of Srimati Radharani is Rupa Goswami's most cherished possession. So in honor of finishing, I thought I'd read this and because Rupa Goswami did end by glorifying Srimati Radharani. So this is the mood of Rupa Goswami as Rupa Manjari. This is from his Gandhava Sampratan Astakam from Stavamala. O Radharani, you and Lord Krishna constantly relishing your ambrosial amorous pastimes in the love groves of Vrindavan, like the intoxicated king of elephants sporting with his queen elephant. Please be compassionate upon this soul, and thus being pleased, allow me to behold your two lotus-like faces. Alas, Sri Radha, O Gandharvika, wretched and miserable, I throw myself to the ground like a stick and implore you with a choking voice to hear my plea, that you kindly be pleased with me and consider me as one of your maidservants. O Srimati Radharani, your beloved Shyamasundar Krishna is much more charming than Lord Narayan. His beauty enchants the entire creation. You are always present on his left, embraced by his arm, and your exquisite beauty far surpasses the beauty of Lakshmi Devi. Oh, when will I be able to see this divine couple and serve them with all my heart? Oh, my worshipful mistress Radharani, I yearn to become your maid in attendance and to dress your transcendental form in a blue sari and to remove the ankle bells from your lotus feet, and in this way to dress you appropriately for your nocturnal rendezvous with your beloved Krishna, the beautiful young son of Nanda Maharaj. I want to send you off to your lover's tryst in the amorous groves where your paramour waits. O Radha, when will this wonderful opportunity be available to me? O Srimati Radhika, you and Lord Krishna are the finest adornments within all creation. In groves of love you lie on a bed of flowers and exchange dalliance of love. O when will I be blessed to serve you in your beloved's lotus feet? O Queen of Vrindavan, when will I be able to fan you with a chamara? When you and your beloved Krishna come to relax under the tree of the banks of Radhakund, after becoming fatigued from your amorous pastimes, pearls of perspiration decorate your bodies. I wish to find you in this condition and soothe away your weariness. Oh, beautiful-eyed Radha, sometimes you hide in a well-concealed spot within the forest grove, but Krishna somehow comes to know your exact hiding place and naturally catches you. You suddenly suspect me of revealing your place of concealment and begin to question me. I begin to stutter. It wasn't me. Chitralekha tattled on you, so please do not frown and chastise me so. Oh, when will I be able to speak entreating words like these to you in the presence of Sri Krishna? When you defeat Krishna in a playful bout of words, you laughingly boast about your victory to your girlfriends, your sakis. They appreciate your victory very much and cheer you on with Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Oh, when will I become fortunate enough to participate in your victory chorus? Anyone who reads this prayer with faith and love, glorifying the super excellent character of Srimati Radharani, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, will surely attract Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna to appear before him in person, being very much pleased with him. That is Srila Rupa Goswami's prayer. So we're finished with our nectar instruction class. I have to... It's not filmed, but Radhakund water we have to pass around maybe. I have to give it to Golok first because he's always charitably distributing.